Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
You're welcome back to Drive Time with Samantha Librari. Now, how would you like to own a beautiful 4,000-year-old Irish axe head from the Bronze Age? Or what about a carved granite rock from the Celtic era depicting a human face? Well, both are on sale next week at an auction in Dublin on Saturday week. But some are asking another question. Should people be able to buy and sell archaeological artefacts which might be of national interest? In a moment, I'll speak to Ian White of White's Auctions, who's hosting the sale. But first, I'm joined by the Keeper of Antiquities at the National Museum of Ireland, Maeve Sikora. Maeve, thanks for speaking to us on Drive Time. I was a bit surprised to see these artefacts for sale. Were you aware of this upcoming sale?
Hi, Samantha. So thanks for having me on. And actually, I was made aware of the sale myself by a colleague in the National Museum who spotted the ad on the website. So yeah, I was aware of it before coming on air here.
And did White's contact you to let you know that these items were going on sale?
So I didn't personally receive any contact, but we were in contact with White's once we had seen the ad. And so we've been engaging with them to try and ascertain a bit more information about the provenance of these pieces, which we'll be doing over the next couple of days.
And are they, on first impression, of archaeological significance to the state?
So, well, they're advertised as such. So the first item there, which I think a listener of yours commented on, appears to be a late Bronze Age axe head, a socketed axe head, which would be about, 1000 BC, thereabouts, so about 3000 years old. So we can't really, until we sort of see them and then understand a bit more about how the person who's selling them came by them. We can't say much more than that for now, Samantha, other than that, it's our duty to sort of follow up all sort of reports of sale of archaeological objects, and that's what we'll be doing over the next few days.
And why is it important that you trace that back?
So, well, it's kind of it's a duty of the National Museum and of my own department in Irish Antiquities. So we're sort of obliged to investigate these reports. And they're important because Ireland has a wonderfully rich archaeological heritage. And if anybody comes to visit the National Museum on Kildare Street, you will see how much public interest there is in our shared heritage. So we've a wonderful resource and a wonderful collection. So we're always interested, obviously, in knowing more. Where an object comes from adds massive importance to it and our understanding of life in prehistoric Ireland.
And talk to me about a report of possession form. That's part of the process here. How does that work and why is it important?
Yeah, so for objects being sold like this, if you find an artefact, Samantha, in the ground today or yesterday, it will be automatically property of the state. So that is really property of the people. So the situation in Ireland really is weighted towards public ownership of our shared heritage. So if objects are found any time sort of between the foundation of the state and now, then they are deemed to be sort of public property or state property. And the National Museum then has a role, obviously, to investigate these and to acquire them.
So should White's have contacted you before they sent out this auction catalogue offering these pieces for sale?
So look, White may have contacted someone in the museum. So I just made contact with them, or my colleague did, just towards the end of last week. So really, we'll engage with them directly now to establish, what these objects are, where they're from, etc., etc. So the journey kind of starts for us now, Samantha.
And is it possible the auction might have to be cancelled or postponed as that process gets underway?
Really, just kind of couldn't really preempt that at this stage, so our focus is now to understand, where this object was from and how the person came by it. And once we sort of know all that, then we'll be able to say a bit more.
And finally, just before I let you go, if this is of interest to you and the ownership is settled, is it something that the state would be likely to buy?
It may be, you know. As I say, you know, it really just depends on the circumstances around these objects and their authenticity. So we'll be looking at that together with Whites, and obviously, you know, make a decision on that basis then. But we're always happy to sort of clarify the legislation in this country, because it is really important to say that sort of, you know, public ownership of heritage is such an important part of what we're about and what we do.
Okay, Maeve Sikora, Keeper of Antiquities at the National Museum of Ireland. Thanks for that. We're joined now by Ian White from White's Auction House. Ian, first off, can we address that point of ownership of these items that are part of the sale? Have you ascertained who owns them?
Of course, yes. I mean, the owners, we've established that the people who consigned them to us actually own them. In one instance, two instances they were bought in England. And the other two items, the stone heads, were bought at an auction in Kildare about 40, 50 years ago.
So has there been some breakdown in communication with yourselves and the National Museum here?
Oh, absolutely not. No, we keep the National Museum abreast of everything we do because they're good customers of ours. They've bought a number of things off us over the last God knows how many years.
So just to be clear, you did notify them about this sale then?
Yeah, they're on our mailing list. We send them the auction only went on live on, it was published on the internet on Friday, and we sent out an email to all our clients, all our customers, including the National Museum and all the other museums in Ireland, to notify them of the auction. And what usually, the way we do this is we always do this, and then the museum get in touch with us, as they have done already. In fact, they were in touch with us.
But listening to Maeve Sikora there, and I'm not an expert in this field, but is it not a much more formal process that needs to be undertaken, with forms being filled out and declarations
made?
Yes,
and they are being filled out. We requested the forms from the museum. We'd actually run out of them. And they sent over forms to us on Friday, and we will complete them. We have to give them photographs, details of the object, where they were found. Now, unfortunately, we don't know where they were found. We only know the history of the object to when the present owner acquired it. In other words, what we call the provenance. So,
but should all of this not have been done before you put them in the catalogue?
No.
How come?
Well, this is the way we work. We notify the museum. If we had to do that for every, we don't know which objects particularly would be of interest. We have a fair idea, so we did save them. In fact, I think when they queried, they were only querying lot one, and we said to them, "Well, no, there's three other lots that you should be interested in." So, okay. I mean, we have a very good relationship with the National Museum, and they're only up the road from us, actually.
So what will happen if they do object to their sale, though?
Oh, I think what usually happens, I mean, you know, this isn't a one-off occurrence. This happens all the time. What happens is they determine as to whether the items are of interest to them. And if they are, then they sometimes say, "Well, look, we prefer not to buy them in auction. We'll make an offer to the owner," and in that case, they would agree to maybe buy them by private treaty.
And do they get first dibs on them, so to speak? Do they get a choice? I mean, if something is of national interest, is there a case to keep it in the country and give the National Museum the first choice of it?
Of course, well, of course there is, yeah. Which, I mean, we you know, that's what we say. We usually, if say the museum make an offer on the item, we would then say to the owner, "It made an offer, and we'd recommend that you accept it." And that's the way it works.
Okay.
You know, we got to remember, these are not things. We do get offered things that have been dug up. These are not items that were dug up recently. These are items that have been in circulation, in some cases, for over 100 years.
Okay.
So they're not items. I mean, I think the axe head is probably in circulation before the state.
Can I ask you briefly before we run out of time, is there much interest usually, and how much will they be for sale for?
Well, the stone heads are estimated at about 5,000 to 7,000. You got to remember too, they're called Celtic. They're not necessarily Celts lived in Ireland, Wales, Scotland, France and along the Danube. So we don't, we haven't actually called those Stoneheads Irish. We're not certain that they are. They were bought in a house content sale many years ago, so it's likely they were Irish. The axe head has a label on it saying Ireland, and the label is like at least 100 years old.
Okay.
So it's possible, but there's no, we've no proof that it's Irish.
Okay.
You know, so.
Well, we will watch.
And the other thing I want to, I just want to emphasize that, you know, when people, if people come into something, into us with something that they dug up in our back garden, we say bring it to the museum and establish, you know, what it is with the museum first, and whether it comes under the Act and okay. the Ancient Antique Monuments Act, whatever okay. it's called.
Well, we'll watch the outcome of this auction with interest. There we must leave it. Ian White from White's Auction House, thanks for speaking to us on Drive Time. We'll be back after this break.